Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Tuesday, November 18th, 2014, episode 10.28, the Week 11 recap show, also known as Welcome to Upset Weekend. It only took 11 weeks for upsets to happen like crazy, but that is what happened on Sunday. Look, folks, I'm feeling a little under the weather, so I'm here for you people, just for you. This is going to be a short show, I promise you that, because I just do not feel that good. But because I had Richard Graves on the show last week to give us his picks, I had to kind of let him know that, Richard, you will always know that when you go against me, that
I am the smartest man alive!
That's right, buddy. So Richard Graves actually has a little apology for the fans. I'll take a look into the future of the NFL playoffs and the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2015 semifinalists trimmed down to just 26. Adrian Peterson may be done for the rest of the year, but is his NFL career over? The Steelers bounced the Titans, barely, and then they bounced running back LeGarrette Blount. And who in the world is Jonas Gray? Chop it in, people!
Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves.
All right, so I just finished my nice hot cup of tea to get my throat going. I've got another one coming. Oh, very nice, right here. Nice hot cup of tea. So every once in a while, you may hear this. That's me taking a nice sip of the hot tea just to keep me going, people, because I play hurt for you. That's how much I love you. Wherever you are in this great world of ours, wherever you are in the universe, because I believe that I am actually being heard in the International Space Station. Thank you, guys. I love you astronauts up there. Thank you for listening to the show wherever in this world that you may be and wherever in this universe you may be. And however it is you are listening to the show, whether streaming from the website or downloading from iTunes or from other pod services, I appreciate you tuning in. Listen, it was a crazy week 11 last week. Buddy Richard Graves came on last week. He finished 7-7 for the week. I was two games better at 9-5, although I don't see how that's much better, 9-5. For the season, the fans just keep falling further and further away. The fans are at 95-65-1 for a 59.3% win ratio. Not bad, not bad. I am at 108-52-1, coming in at 67.4% clip. I'm starting to slip from that 70% plateau that I have set for myself, so I got to turn it on. But I do win another challenge game as the Chicago Bears were able to handle the Minnesota Vikings. We'll talk about that game in a little bit. And Richard Graves kind of let the fans down there. I have regained a one-game lead. I have 6 wins while the fans have 5 through 11 weeks. That means the next fan to come on next week will try and even it out again. But I hope to be near perfect next week. Bad news, I am out of Survivor. I went with the Washington Redskins, one of my 5 losses, and in the Survivor poll. And lo and behold, that was enough to get me knocked out of Survivor. That's what I get for deciding to cheer on a rival team. It wasn't even close. Tampa Bay blew them out of the water. It was ugly. Sorry there. I needed that tea. And we'll get to all of that. We're going to start with the big news of the day. The NFL has suspended Adrian Peterson for the rest of 2014 season without pay. That means that basically Adrian Peterson has been on this commissioner exempt list. And he hasn't been playing football, but he's been getting paid. That's kind of like what the Minnesota Vikings and the league and Roger Goodell, the commissioner, kind of did by putting Adrian Peterson on this commissioner exemplist. That means you cannot play. You're not on the field. But we can't really keep your money away from you, so we'll pay you. So over these past 11 weeks, Adrian Peterson has been getting paid. He just hasn't been able to play. Well, as you all know, November 4th, he pled no contest, got a plea deal. Basically, he got like a 80-day, probationary, something like that, where he had to kind of do some community service, pay like a $4,000 fine, and he's off the hook, no jail time. Well, at that point, he asked to be reinstated, which the league has taken its time. They said no, and today they basically announced that he has been suspended for the rest of the year without pay. So that means that now he is truly suspended. He is no longer on this commissioner exempt list. He is suspended for 6 games without pay. To which a lot of people are like saying, what is up with the NFL? It's clear to me that the NFL doesn't want Adrian Peterson to play this year, whether it's the NFL or the Minnesota Vikings. They don't want him back on the football field. They don't want to have to answer questions as to why this guy who beat his child is playing football. The problem with this, and the NFLPA is getting ready to do this, they, as a matter of fact, that's the Players Association, they filed a non-injury grievance last week on Peterson's behalf. They said that the arbitrator needed to find out why the league wasn't, you know, making Commissioner Goodell remove Adrian Peterson from the commissioner's exempt list and let him start playing football, because his case was done. You know, we'd heard that possibly he would, you know, get time served. They would say, okay, your suspension is 6 or 8 games. You've already served that. You know, we just need to, you need to lose the money for those 6 to 8 games, and then, you know, you come back on the and play. Well, the NFL released a statement saying that this is another example of the credibility gap that exists between the agreements they make, they meaning the NFL, and the actions they take. We call on the NFL Management Council to show our players and our sponsors leadership by committing to collective bargaining so a fair personal conduct policy can be implemented as quickly as possible. What the NFLPA is saying is, look, this is what we agreed to. This is what the discipline was going to be if X happens. And you're not following that. It's just kind of willy-nilly now. The NFL is making its own rules, in essence. And look, Adrian Peterson knows he did wrong. He's never denied it. He's never tried to hide it. He gave an explanation as to why he did it. Do we agree with that explanation? Heck no. You know, just because your parents did it doesn't mean that you should do it. But I understand that he is, you know, gone. He's gone through the legal system. The legal system let him loose. You know, he didn't have to do any jail time. I'd say it's because, you know, he's very wealthy and he can, you know, hire some attorneys that can get him off the hook. If it were me or you or somebody else who doesn't have that kind of money to his name, we'd probably be doing some jail time for child abuse. That's beside the point. That's our legal system. That's for another show. Right now, Adrian Peterson is, as far as the legal system is concerned, out and about. He can get back to work. Now, his employers, that being the NFL and the Minnesota Vikings, are saying, yeah, we're going to suspend you now for the rest of the year. We don't believe, one, that you are remorseful for what you've done, which, how can they know that? Seriously, how can the league sit here and try and tell you or me that this person has shown no sign of remorse if they haven't been with this person for the last 4 months? Have they been with them? Have they hung out with them? Have they asked them questions? No, because he didn't even show up for the meeting that they wanted him to show up for, right? Because he and the NFLPA didn't think that that was a meeting that was needed. Oh, man, I'm getting all crazy in here. I'm going to lose my voice earlier than anticipated. But look, the thing is, the NFL really is all about doing whatever it wants, however it wants, and making up rules to fit their purpose. Do I agree with what Adrian Peterson did? No. But he's gone through the legal system. And the NFL has not only now decided, well, you know what, we're not happy with what the outcome of the legal system, so now we're going to impose our own punishment. And people are saying, well, he wasn't punished before. He was getting paid for those 11 weeks. Well, yeah, but he wasn't playing football. And that was his job. And that's what the problem with this commissioner exempt list is that, yeah, the player is still getting paid. But what happens now if tomorrow someone comes and accuses a football player of something and they get put on this commissioner exempt list, and after everything goes through the legal process, he is found not innocent. He didn't do anything. This person was just spouting that just to see if she could get away with whatever it is she accused the man of. Well, now not only have you deprived the team of their player, you've deprived the player of being able to play the football game, and that's a tricky road and dangerous road to go down. That's the problem with this commissioner's exempt list. The fact is, he hasn't played for 10 weeks. Yeah, he was getting paid, but his legal proceedings finished. They're done with. He, I'm pretty sure, is very sorry that he hit his child the way he did. Do I think he's going to do it again? I'm pretty sure he will not. I think he's learned his lesson. I think, hopefully, he will get counseled enough so where that he knows that what he's done doesn't work in today's society. I think Adrian Peterson, as my friend and colleague, Jeremy Parker said in an episode a few weeks ago, let him go out and kind of serve to other players who still might be disciplining their children this way, that it's not right to do that. All you're going to do is you're going to prolong the inevitable. Now, is his career over? I don't know. If the league is saying you can't play this year, who's going to want him next year? He still obviously has a lot of gas in his tank. But I don't think the Minnesota Vikings are going to want him back. And, you know, I mean, all the Vikings had to say is we respect the league's decision and we'll have no further comment at this time. That's it. They've washed their hands of it. They're done. So that's it. I doubt we see Adrian Peterson again. They are appealing, but barring a successful appeal, Adrian Peterson probably doesn't get to play again this year. And, you know, Ray Rice's appeal is still going on. It's still being heard. We don't know what the league is doing, and the league is kind of making stuff up as it goes along. I'm not sure it knows what it's doing either. Is his career over? I don't know. I'm sure there's going to be a team willing to give him a chance, but it's, you know, it's at the discretion of the commissioner and the NFL as to when they reinstate Adrian Peterson, and I'm pretty sure they're going to try their best to not let him play football this year. All right, real quickly, the Pittsburgh Steelers said goodbye to LeGarrette Blount, the running back. Apparently, LeGarrette Blount has been a handful for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, released a statement and said, "We believe the decision to release LeGarrette is in the best interest of the organization, and we wish him the best of luck." Now, it was came out that apparently LeGarrette Blount left Monday Night Football, left the field before the end of the game in the Steelers' win over the Tennessee Titans in Nashville, and apparently that was the move that caused him to, you know, be done in Pittsburgh. LeGarrette Blount, there you go. He's done, and, you know, I go back to him being a player at Oregon with the punch that was kind of heard around the college world, and that he's never been able to kind of successfully grow up and get out of that. You know, that sucker punch that he did when he played for Oregon kind of that kind of said it all about Blount. You know, he got caught, you know, smoking marijuana, and he's got talent. I mean, it was a couple seasons there for the Patriots where he ran the ball really well, but Obviously, he had problems. And if the Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers, two organizations who, you know, they try to work with their players a lot, if they can't help you and keep you around, I'm not sure anybody's going to. So we may have seen the last of LeGarrette Blount. Finally, Richard Graves, a good buddy, a reporter for Sky Sports News, came on the show last week and he put his picks up against mine. He has been trying to catch me all season, and it just wasn't to be this week. He lost the challenge game, Chicago and Minnesota. We'll get to that in a moment. But he wanted to be here to apologize to the fans. I just couldn't work out a time to be on with him. So in his absence, I will say to the fans, Richard Graves is truly, truly sorry for his picks, and he's sorry that he allowed me to win the challenge game by picking the Chicago game. He's not sure why he picked Minnesota. But there you have it. 7-7 was what he was able to put up for the fans. At least it wasn't a losing record. You know, look at it that way. It wasn't a losing record. So, Richard, thank you very much for coming on the show. I'd love to have you on any time. Now, finally, the NFL playoffs are starting to take shape. And I have concerns, people. I have concerns for you as fans. For me, myself, I have concern as a fan. But for you as a fan, right now, in the NFC South, we have two teams, the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints, who at 4-6 lead the division. Just behind them is the 3-7-1 Carolina Panthers. And bringing up the rear, just two games back of first place, are the 2-8 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's right, the 2-8 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Buccaneers who knocked me out of Survivor this weekend, got their second win 11 weeks into the season, and they are just two games out of first place. Let me say that one time. One more time. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers that just got their second win 11 weeks into the season are just two games out of first place.
What?
That's right. Just two games out of first place. It is conceivable, however unlikely, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win out, win the next six games, finish the season at 8-8, and win this division. That's not beyond the realm of possibility, my friends. I doubt that happens. But here is what's going to happen. The Atlanta Falcons and New Orleans Saints, who lead the division at 4-6, just for a second, play along with me, if you will, looking at the schedules of these two teams for the next 6 weeks to end the season. The New Orleans Saints, who most likely will win the division, have the Baltimore Ravens this week at home. Now, New Orleans has just lost back-to-back home games. It is very conceivable, my friends, that they lose three in a row in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. That's right, three in a row. It's against the Baltimore Ravens. It's Sunday Night Football. Baltimore's a pretty good football team. New Orleans may lose again. Then they go to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a tough out. They then host Carolina. They go to Chicago. And then they finish in the division hosting Atlanta, and they travel to Tampa Bay for the final game. I seriously see the New Orleans Saints losing to Baltimore, losing to Pittsburgh, and then losing one other game within their division, either to Carolina, Atlanta, or Tampa Bay, and they might even lose to Chicago. That is a Monday Night Football game at Soldier Field. So, and this the Baltimore Raven games, I'm sorry, is not Sunday Night Football. It's Monday Night Football. So, three more losses will put the New Orleans Saints at 9-7. I mean, I'm sorry, at 7-9. Let's stop there for a second and take a look at the Atlanta Falcons. They also have a pretty difficult schedule to finish the season. This week, they go and play the Cleveland Browns. Now, Cleveland didn't look so hot last week, but they got Josh Gordon back. They are trying to stay competitive within their very own division. That will be a tough out. Then they play the Arizona Cardinals. And as the Arizona Cardinals showed this week by beating the Detroit Lions, they are for real. Then Atlanta has to travel to Green Bay to face the Packers at Lambeau. No way they're winning that game on ESPN Monday Night Football. Then they host the Pittsburgh Steelers. I believe that's another loss. Then New Orleans and Carolina are their final two games. Let's say that Atlanta wins one out of the next four, Cleveland, Arizona, Green Bay, and Pittsburgh. That puts them at 7-9. 7-9 most likely wins this division. But there is a distinct possibility because of these two schedules that 6-10 is going to win the NFC South. 6-10. Why do I believe 6-10? Because I can very easily see both the Falcons and the Saints losing four of their next six games. I can see it. The writing's on the wall. New Orleans can lose to Baltimore, lose to Pittsburgh, lose to Chicago, and lose one of their games within their division, Carolina, Atlanta, or Tampa Bay. Atlanta could lose the very next four games in a row, Cleveland, Arizona, Green Bay, and Pittsburgh. And that scares me, folks. That scares me that a 6-10 team can win the NFC South and then host either a Green Bay Packer or Detroit Lion team that's a wild card from the North, a Philadelphia Eagle or Dallas Cowboy team, one of those might be the wild card from the East. Heck, Arizona may not be caught in the West, so San Francisco and Seattle are going to be fighting to try and get that final wild card spot. One of those teams with a winning record, a 10-6 team, may not even make the playoffs because the NFC South will have a representative at 6-10 or 7-9 hosting a playoff game. Now, I know that I haven't been as negative about this in the past as I should have been. But now we're talking about the possibility of a team that will be two games below 500 hosting a playoff game in January. That's unreal, folks. That's unreal. And if you guys aren't as upset as I am right now, then there's something wrong with you. That should not happen. The league should say, you know what? If you win your division with a losing record, you don't get to go to the playoffs. It's that simple. It's that simple. You need to not reward mediocrity. Mediocrity? Did I just say that? Oh, I really am sick, folks. A mediocre football team should not get rewarded. You should not be able to host a playoff game. You shouldn't be able to be in the playoffs if you are 6-10. If you are 7-9. 8-8, fine. I'll give you that because you're at least 500. But if you're below 500, you have no business in the playoffs. I hope the NFL takes a look at that. Because if 10-6 Philadelphia has to go to 6-10 New Orleans, that would be atrocious. It really would. All right, folks, I'm going to just get to the four games that Richard Graves from Sky Sports News and myself differed on. We'll start with the challenge game, the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears. I told Richard that this was a game Chicago had to have. They were at home. They needed it after just playing poor football. And it was poor football, and they still played poor football. And I didn't think that Teddy Bridgewater would be able to go on the road and get a win. Sure enough, Chicago's defense kind of went at Minnesota. They took it to them. And even though Minnesota hung around, in the end, Chicago was just too much. 21-13 the final. And that was the challenge game. That makes me...
I am the smartest man alive!
And Richard is just going to have to listen to that. You know what, Richard? Here's this just one more time for you, buddy.
I am the smartest man alive!
Yeah. And I think he knows that now. The next game that we differed on, the Seattle Seahawks going to Kansas City to face the Chiefs. I had Kansas City at home. He had Seattle. And look, man, Seattle is a good football team. They're the defending Super Bowl champions, but they're not the same team from last year. And the one thing that Seattle has to learn is that when you are the defending Super Bowl champion, you have to bring your A game every week, because every team, when they come up against you, is bringing their A-plus game. And when you get everyone's A-plus game week in and week out, it starts to hit you. And it starts to hit you hard. And the Seattle Seahawks are in danger of, you know what, not even returning to the playoffs. If the season were to start today, that's where Seattle would find themselves, on the outside looking in. And that's not a good position to be for the Seattle Seahawks and the defending Super Bowl champions there. They're going to have to win some games. Fortunately for Seattle, if you look at their schedule, the Seattle Seahawks know that destiny is within their reach. They got Arizona Cardinals still that they have to play twice. They have the San Francisco 49ers that they have to play twice. And they have the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's a game that they're going to have to win if they're going to try and sneak in as a wild card. That's a game that they'll have to win. It's in Philly. Seattle has destiny in their own hands, but they're going to have to take care of business. They're going to have to at least split with Seattle, try and win both the games against San Francisco, and make sure that they win that game against Philadelphia. Otherwise, it's going to be hard for them to get into the playoffs this season. Anyways, the Kansas City Chiefs, man, they're being sneaky right now. No one's really talking about them. They're in the division with the Denver Broncos. That's why no one's talking about them, but they're 7-3. They're tied with Denver. They're 2-1 in the conference. They're 1-1 with the division. That's where Denver has the tiebreaker on them, because Denver right now is 3-0 within the AFC West. Kansas City needs some wins within the division. And right behind them is the San Diego Chargers at 6-4. But the Kansas City Chiefs are doing it. Unfortunately, like last year, I think they're doing it with smoke and mirrors. Do you realize that the Kansas City Chiefs have yet to throw a touchdown pass to a wide receiver?
What?
That's right. That's right. They have no touchdown passes to a wide receiver. Who needs wide receivers anyways? You know what? In this day and age, in this NFL, in this league of pass first, pass second, pass third, and then maybe pass one more time just for good measure, in this type of a league, you need wide receivers. Kansas City Chiefs, that is going to be their downfall. They're not going to be able to go very far without being able to throw touchdown passes to the wide receivers. But watch them. They will hurt people. And if you look at their schedule coming up for the Kansas City Chiefs, they also have a very sneaky chance of making the playoffs. They got Oakland coming up Thursday Night Football. They should be able to take care of them. Then they have a really big game Week 13 against the Denver Broncos in Kansas City. If they can somehow find a way to win that game, the AFC West might be wide open. All right, the Detroit Lions travel to Arizona to face the Arizona Cardinals, and I hope Richard Graves starts to believe in Drew Stanton and the Arizona Cardinals, because you know what? They took it to Detroit. Now, they scored early. They scored 14 points, boom, boom, first quarter, flowing, everything was looking good, and then they held on to win 14-6. They allowed a team, the Detroit Lions, with Matthew Stafford and Megatron and Reggie Bush and Golden Tate, a lot of weapons, and they held them to 6 points. I told them that their defense was just as good as Detroit's, and at the end of the day, Arizona answered the bell, 14-6 the final there. they get the win. Then finally, Richard Graves got one on me of the four games that we differed. This was New England at Indianapolis. I thought the Colts would be able to handle their own in Indy. But a little unknown running back by the name of Jonas Gray. Four touchdowns and almost two Bills of rushing on the ground. Just too much. They didn't really need all that much Tom Brady. He just needed to hand the ball off. Gronk had some pretty big plays there for the Patriots. Colts just could not get it done. And the Indianapolis Colts are going to have to find a way that when they play these teams, these big teams, these Patriots, these Broncos, they're going to have to find a way to play big boy football. They've lost big games. Pittsburgh, Broncos, Philly, Patriots, and they just weren't clicking offensively, and their defense got rolled. Rolled! I mean, it was not pretty at all. And the Indianapolis Colts have got some questions to answer. They have to find out why it is when they face these upper-tier teams, why they just have no answer. Part of it, the Patriots did a good job of eliminating T.Y. Hilton from the game. He really was a non-factor. Three catches for 24 yards. Kobe Fleener was the big receiver for the Colts. And then Ahmad Bradshaw, broken foot or ankle, I believe. That's not really good as well. But at the end of the day, the New England Patriots say, hey, we may be old. People might be counting us out, but we are 8-2. We are number one in the conference, and it is going to be difficult if you're going to have to come to Foxborough to win in Foxborough during the playoffs. It will be difficult. Stand up and take a look at the New England Patriots. They are sending a message, people. All right. So that means I had three wins. Gravesy had one, but I had the one that counted the most in the challenge game. And the other games, Miami over Buffalo on Thursday night, that was pretty simple. I know that my buddy Greg Campbell will say that it was a lot closer than the score indicated, but he really did not like the intentional grounding call. It was called as it was. Just because the wide receiver goes the other way doesn't mean that it's not intentional grounding. You can't say, hey, me and my wide receiver were on the wrong, you know, we're on different pages. It doesn't work that way. If there's no wide receiver there, you got to call it. The Atlanta Falcons finally get a win. It was a very interesting win, 19-17 over the Carolina Panthers. That win catapulted Atlanta to first in the division, but I've already let you know what I feel about that. The Cleveland Browns playing against the Houston Texans. We both got that one wrong. Cleveland just did not show up. Houston went in there without Arian Foster and got the job done 23-7. Ryan Mallett, what can I say other than the, you know, kid came out and threw his first touchdown pass to not Andre Johnson, not DeAnthony Hopkins, not a tight end. He threw it to J.J. Watt. I mean, he does it everything. He does it all. I mean, two-yard touchdown pass for Mallett. Mallett's numbers weren't huge. He was 20 of 30 for 211 yards and two touchdowns. But the thing that Mallett did that Ryan Fitzpatrick couldn't do was get the W, and that's all that matters. The New Orleans Saints, another game that we missed, hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati bounced back from that awful, awful game against Cleveland. 27-10 beatdown of the Saints. The Saints, it's falling apart, people. Back-to-back losses at home, that is never a good sign, especially when the Superdome is supposed to be this place where you can't go in and win if you're an opponent. Well, in back-to-back weeks, the San Francisco 49ers and Cincinnati Bengals have managed that. 27-10 once again, Cincinnati. Cincinnati needs to keep this roll going. San Francisco 49ers and the New York Giants. San Francisco gets the 16-10 win. Eli Manning was horrific. He has returned to happy feet status. 5 interceptions in the game. And all I can say is, San Francisco, is why did you only win this game by 6? He gifted you 5 interceptions, and you still struggled. They were driving. New Orleans, the New York Giants were driving at the end of this game, and they needed a defensive stop to win 16-10. I don't understand it. The surprise upset of the weekend, Denver playing against the St. Louis Rams and getting thrashed 22-7. Peyton Manning's streak of multiple TDs, 2 or more TD passes in a game, that streak stopped as he only threw 1. Emmanuel Sanders, a brutal hit that he took. The Rams were just more physical than Denver. They got after Peyton Manning. They knocked him around. And, you know, as we've seen in the Super Bowl, you get after those wide receivers and you get after Peyton Manning, and Denver is a different football team. Another game that we missed, the Washington Redskins hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay just taking it to Washington, making me look bad. My survivor pick, 27-7, RG3, not good, just not good right now. Threw a couple picks in the game, and then he says that nobody's playing well on the team. So, of course, the media says, you know, he's throwing his teammates under the bus. Well, is he really? He's just saying nobody's playing well. That's not throwing anybody under the bus. He didn't call anybody out by name. The San Diego Chargers were able to take care of the Oakland Raiders 13-6 this game. Phillip Rivers was taking some brutal shots. It looked for a while there that he was hurt pretty badly, but fortunately for him, no tears, no problems there. He should be back and able to play. And finally, the final game that we did get correctly, the Green Bay Packers trouncing the Philadelphia Eagles. Another 50-burger for Green Bay, 53-20. The Packers look unstoppable. But you know what? I'm going to just say this before I leave. I'm really dying here, folks. I'm just going to go out and say this. Look, yeah, over the last several weeks, the New England Patriots and the Green Bay Packers have looked phenomenal. But please, that doesn't mean that the Super Bowl is going to be New England against Green Bay. Why do people do this? Why do they go and say, well, over the last 2 weeks, you know, New England has been unstoppable and the Packers, Aaron Rodgers is playing like at a different level, and that's your Super Bowl right there, New England and Green Bay. Well, 5 weeks ago, everybody was saying it was going to be Denver and Philadelphia. So, calm down. Let's just get to the playoffs, okay? Then we can start to see how people are doing at the end of the season. I'm pretty certain that I'm going to go on record right now, and I'm going to get an email, especially one from a Patriot fan. You know who you are, and you know you're going to email me or send me some nasty Facebook post. But I guarantee you that representing the AFC will not be the New England Patriots. They're not. It's not going to be. And the NFC might be the Green Bay Packers, but we don't know. I mean, the Packers have had a couple bad games this season as well. A lot of football to be played. Calm down. Let's not just look at the last 3 weeks and say that it's going to be Green Bay and New England in the Super Bowl. A buddy at work, Adam, was saying, it's going to be New England and Green Bay. Do you see how they're playing out of their minds right now? I mean, those are the teams. Calm down, Adam. Calm down. And with that, folks, I've got to calm down, bring myself down. I will leave you with, it was a spectacular week 11. A lot of upsets. And if there's one thing that I learned in week 11, is that you really don't know. I mean, there is no way that anybody, unless you were a Rams fan, could have predicted the Rams beating Denver. No way anybody thought Cincinnati was going into New Orleans and winning. No way I saw Houston going into Cleveland and beating down a Browns team that literally shut out Cincinnati the week before. You just never know. I mean, Green Bay thrashing 53-20 in Philadelphia. Oh, man, and the Arizona Cardinals. What can you say about the Cardinals? They just keep winning. They keep finding ways to win. Tampa Bay beating Washington like that in Washington. Just some unreal results this weekend. Thank you very much for listening once again, wherever you are. I really appreciate it. Richard, you're a good sport, buddy. But remember, my friend, that
I am the smartest man alive.
I'm Stephen Miranda, and you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. Hit the website, www.nflrnr.com, to get our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram social media handles. And you can also track how the fans are doing against myself in the weekly challenge game. Take it easy. I'm out.